morning church. The readings today are from John, and it's a bit of jumping around, so bear with me. Starting in John 14, verses 15 to 17. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. John 15, 16 to 17. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. And John 15, 26 to 27. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, who will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. And finally, John 16, 12 to 13. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Trevor.
Good morning, Trevor.
Glad to be part of this wonderful family, the Church of Jesus Christ, the End Lakes Entrance. I've decided to share with you a bit this morning, and I think it's more as a testimony, I believe, because I'm no preacher, but I think I'm quite able to testify of my experiences in the Word of God. And of late, probably more likely it started over a year ago when Michael asked me to come and bear testimony at some stage. And at that stage, I was seeking to know more about my identity in Jesus Christ. You know, as being adopted by God through Jesus Christ into this grand royal family of God. Who am I? I wanted to know, who am I in this family of God? I wanted to know my identity. And that is what I spoke about that day. You'll probably remember. Maybe you've forgotten it, and I don't blame you. But that is where I started on this journey of wanting to know my identity. And I think it's good for us to know that. I mean, we have royals these days in the UK, and many of them don't behave the way we think they should as people with that title of being royals. And that was a challenge to me. Is my behavior, would people recognize me as part of this royal family of God, as part of this royal family of Jesus Christ? But in trying to find out who I was, I then wanted to know who my Father was, my Heavenly Father. And so I was trying to find out more about who God was in all his fullness. But in order to know who God is, I discovered that the only way I could find out who God was to know who his Son is, and that is Jesus Christ. And in trying to find out Jesus Christ in all of his fullness, I realized that it's only the Holy Spirit who could reveal Jesus Christ to me. And so this is where I went about the things all back to front way, but I found out eventually that it is the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus Christ real to us. It's the Holy Spirit who has brought us to conviction, brought us to repentance, revealed Jesus Christ and his love and his mercy to us, and who entered into us once we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and took up living, came to live within us. This is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then, reading these Gospels, there's so much in these Gospels of Jesus Christ and his disciples. And just looking back on my own life, I see, and this is what I actually want to emphasize this morning, the benefits and the blessings that we have and that we should be experiencing throughout our Christian life, the blessings and the benefit of being born of the Spirit of God. You know, these disciples, when Jesus first called them to come and follow him, they left everything that they were doing. They left their businesses, their fishing business, Matthew the tax booth, and others. But they left whatever they were doing and they followed Jesus. They had no idea whatsoever where they were going, what they were going to do. They had no idea what their future would look like other than Jesus had said to some fishermen there, Peter and Andrew, that come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's all they knew. But that was God's grand purpose for them, for calling them. They didn't understand it at the time. They had no idea. They just followed Jesus. And we today, I think we would first want to ask some questions, wouldn't we? Okay, so what's the pay going to be like? You know, are you going to pay for accommodation and for transport? Well, you know, we want to know all these things. We're not just going to follow. What about my family? And what about this and that? They just followed. And I'd like us to find out this morning the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in the lives of people once he enters in. You see, we when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we are convinced and convicted that we are sinners and that we are lost and that we are facing a judgment, the wrath of God, we are facing the reward for our sin, which is death. We see Jesus Christ in all his mercy, and the reason why God the Father sent him was to reconcile us to God, to bring us back into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. When we see him this way, and we invite him to come, Lord, I need you to come and save me from this pit of darkness that I am in, and to give me a new life. Once we invite him into our hearts and into our lives, we receive his Holy Spirit. He comes in to stay. The disciples, however, and there is the difference between us and the disciples. The disciples, however, they were not born of the Spirit of God. They did not have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in them. But you see, this conversation that takes place, this conversation that takes place here throughout the Gospels, from John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, this is taking place where Jesus has prepared and said to his disciples, let's go and celebrate, or let's have the feast of the Passover together. Not knowing to the disciples that this would be the last feast, a Passover feast that they would be sharing together, the last Passover meal they will be sharing together. And this conversation is taking place after Jesus has gone in and washed their feet and shared the love and encouraged them to keep on loving one another and to serve each other in this way too, to hold each other in high regard, be a blessing to one another. But it's also at this meal and this time of the feast of the Passover where Jesus needs to tell his disciples, because Jesus knows, chapter 13, verse 1 starts that way. Jesus knows that the time for his ministry on earth is coming to an end. And he needs to know that these disciples, these people whom he has chosen, and the purpose for his choice, for choosing them, is this, that they were going to be the ones who would continue the ministry after he had gone back to his Father. They did not know that yet. All they knew, they are following Jesus, and they see all the wonderful things that he is doing, and they knew that he is different, they knew that he is special. And they, I think, enjoyed that way of life. That bond, that brotherhood, which they had shared together. But they did not have the Spirit of Christ in him. They lived with Jesus daily. They did the things that he did. They did the things that he asked them to do. They were obedient to his will. But they did not have the Spirit of Christ. And so Jesus has to tell them one or two things at this meal. First, he has to tell them that he's leaving and going back to his Father. And when he tells them that, it doesn't go down too well at all. Because they cannot understand what's going on here. After all, and we can sympathize with them. Because after all, it was Jesus who called them away from their livelihood. They dropped everything they were doing to follow Jesus. And they went on this 3-year trip with Jesus, going into evangelism, which they had no experience in. They had to learn on the job as they went along. They were like a Jesus' apprentices. But in that 3 years, he was preparing them for the task which he had in store for them. And that was to spread the gospel, to declare the name of Jesus Christ throughout the world. You know, many times, even during this time they spent with Jesus, during this traineeship, this discipleship they were going through, where they did not understand most of the things that Jesus was trying to teach them. And above all, they never fully understood who Jesus truly was. They could not grasp who Jesus truly was. And so Jesus tells them this in John chapter 15 and verse 26 that Julie read so well. Thank you, Julie, for it. Must have been a bit difficult this morning jumping around like this, but I couldn't give you all 4 chapters to read because we'll probably come back next week still to read them. But I tried to just pick some verses out to try and get the message across. Jesus tells him here in chapter 15 and verse 26, and the counselor that will come to you, the Spirit of truth. And I like the NIV. He says the Spirit that comes out from the Father. It's like the Spirit of God coming to us. He will come to you and he will testify to you. And I like again what the NLT says here. When the Spirit of truth comes to you, he will tell you all things about me. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus Christ to us. And he's saying to them, the Spirit of truth will reveal me to you guys. You will know who I am. Because you see, even at this point in time, while they are sitting here in the upper room, right up to that point, after everything they'd been through with Jesus, they still did not know who he was. And this has taken place throughout their apprenticeship, throughout their traineeship. There was a time, you remember, on the storm on the boat, when they thought the ship or the boat was going to capsize and sink because of the storm. They were in fear of their lives. They went and called Jesus, who was asleep in the boat, and he gets up. And he comes and he speaks to the winds and the wave, and he tells it, peace be still. And they all just calm down. And they're standing like, wow, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? They still don't get it. They've seen the marvelous things he's done. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen lepers made whole and crippled made whole. They still could not understand. And when he spoke to them, even over here in this last part of their conversation, when he's telling them, I'm going back to my Father, Philip is saying, who's your father? Just tell us, just show us your father and we'll be happy. They still did not get it. Because they did not have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit. And this is part of the verses that Julie read. It's the Holy Spirit who comes and who leads us into all truth. This is part of this wonderful promise that Jesus made to his disciples. This gift of the Holy Spirit. There is no child of God who can live without him. If you think you can, you are not a child of God. You have not received the Spirit if you think you can live without him. There is this difference of acting like Jesus, living with Jesus daily, doing the things that Jesus do. And people do that even today. There are church ministers who do that even today. They go through the ceremonies and they think they're doing what Jesus do. They say some of the right words, but they never talk about being born again of the Spirit of God. Because how can you speak about being born again of the Spirit of God if you yourself are not born of the Spirit of God? How can you tell of the salvation that is to be found in Jesus Christ alone and the cleansing through his precious blood and the sanctification of his Holy Spirit when you have not been sanctified and set aside by his Holy Spirit and made holy and washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, as Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 1. You can only speak of those things if you have the experience. And so Jesus is trying to point out to them how important, how vitally important to the believers, the child of, is telling this to us as well, Jesus speaking to us as well, how vitally important it is for us to have the Spirit of God. And that is why once we receive Jesus Christ, confess our sins, he gives to us his Holy Spirit. Because it is Holy Spirit who will then direct us, keep convicting us of sin, keep bringing us to repentance and confession. Keep us in a good relation, a right relationship with God the Father. It's all that the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit gives power. The last words which Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven was, you will receive power once my Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses throughout the nation, throughout the world. And you know what? If you look at these Gospels, you see how true this is. The change that came about in the lives of these disciples. These three were going through this three-year traineeship, still filled with doubt and confusion about, oh, he's leaving us. Why is he leaving us? We were faithful to him. And now he's leaving. Why are you leaving? Peter says. And then Jesus still says, you can't come where I'm going now. Why can't I come where you're going now, Lord? Why can't I follow you now? I'm willing to die for you. Oh, Peter, there's other work for you to be done. I have a big plan in store for you. For all of you guys, you see, because what Jesus could foresee was this huge explosion of evangelism that will last centuries and will travel right across the world. People will come to know him. And that is why he has not lost patience with his guys at all. He knew one thing that he could rely upon them was this. That all the hardship, and he understands the difficult relationship they've had over these 3 years. There was time of anger. There was time of frustration because of their misunderstanding, their lack of faith. The times Jesus had to correct them. He understood all that. But through all that difficult time, they faced frustration. They didn't quite know the job. They didn't quite know what was expected of them. Yet not one of them turned back. they remained faithful to the calling of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew this. This is what he valued in these guys. Not one of them turned back. And these are the people that he needs. These are the people that's important to him. It's this kind of person that he needs to establish his church here on earth. People who are obedient, chapter 14, verse 15, 16, and 17, people who are obedient, people who willingly obey his will and will love him. And to such he gives his Holy Spirit. We today, we have the Spirit of Christ in us. Dare I ask the question, so why are we so disobedient? You know, is he fulfilling the purpose that he has for us in us and through us? Because he has this purpose for us. Unless we realize that purpose which God has for us, that purpose for which Jesus Christ has called us, unless we realize that, you know, what we are really doing is we are what Paul talked to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and he says, because we have the Spirit of Christ in us, if he's not active in us, which is what he wants to do, we are actually stifling the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. The term there is being used as like pouring water on the fire. Don't try and put out the fire which the Spirit of God is trying to build and create in you. Don't pour water on the fire which the Holy Spirit is even perhaps starting in your brother or sister's life by your actions or by your words. Encourage one another in faith. Embrace the Holy Spirit. This is all that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples here. When he says to them, I will give you a comforter. I will give you an advocate. I will give you a counselor. What he's saying to them, in fact, in chapter 14, verse 16, he said to them, I will give you another counselor. And what Jesus is saying here to them is this, that you already have a counselor, which is me. But when I go away, I'll give you another counselor. And you already know who he is. Because now he is living with you. But very soon he will come and live in you. This is what Jesus is saying to him. So he wants him to embrace the Holy Spirit. Because what he's saying too about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is going to be to these disciples everything which he is to them. And more. And more. How their lives changed after they received the Holy Spirit is absolutely a marvelous thing. I mean, I'm amazed just at friends of mine back in the day. I played football with and that. And there's one chap in particular. And I was living in Australia already, been here for 40 years now, but I was just newly in Australia when I heard that Andy had given his heart to Jesus Christ. And I thought, Andy, how could Andy ever get saved? He was just one of those blokes that was so far away. The Spirit of God. I heard Andy was preaching the gospel. 2 years later, I heard Andy become a pastor. Andy died last year. But this is what the Spirit of God does. He changes people's lives, and he even changes the lives of believers. The way he changed the lives of these disciples who walked with Jesus Christ daily, he's willing to change our lives. He's willing to fulfill that purpose in our lives. And as I say again, it's of course only as we come and realize that it's only the Holy Spirit who can reveal Jesus Christ to us. It's a part that I just like to emphasize here, and that is that we can only speak about Jesus Christ if we know who he truly is. And the disciples at that point in time did not know who he was. And so Jesus, there's a point where Jesus takes him away after a good few days of ministry around the Galilee area. Extensive ministry. There's healing, there's casting out of demons. feeding of the thousands of people. Full on job. Disciples are busy. And at the end of that period of ministry, and I think they probably would have ended up in the northern part of Galilee, Capernaum and Bethsaida, the two top towns around the northern part of Galilee. When Jesus takes him away, we read of this in Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13 to verse 20. When Jesus takes him to Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is a beautiful place, right on the lower slopes of Mount Hermon. It's the most fertile region in Israel. It's a place with natural springs and running water. It's a source of supply for the Jordan River. Fruit trees just grow naturally there. Olive, it's a beautiful place. See some pictures of that area. It is absolutely beautiful. It's a place where you go for a, you'd go for a holiday. Although that region had its own dark history of its own, but that conversation we'll keep for another time. But it's to this area that Jesus takes his disciples after this extensive ministry period in Galilee. It's about over a 10-hour walk, I read. And when they get there, you can just imagine, they're hot and they're bothered, and the boys are kicking off their sandals, their dusty feet, and jumping in the natural pools of water there, and carrying on. And they say, wow, you must have brought us here as a thank you for the wonderful job we just did down there in Galilee and helping him with his ministry. And you couldn't blame them for thinking that. Wow, you know, I mean, we must have done well. He's easily rewarding us for our efforts. If only a soft serve ice cream truck will turn up here now, it will be, this will be paradise. I don't think that was going to happen, would it? Probably one at a messy church one day. But anyway, it's to this area he takes them. Because Jesus wants to be alone with his disciples. They don't know that. They think they're going there for fun. I can just see Peter probably shoving John's head under the water, something he wanted to do for a long time, and holding there for, you know. But then Jesus gets his attention. He gets their attention. And I'm just painting a picture here. That's not all in the Bible, mind you. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you, because that is what blokes do. You can jump in water after a 10-hour walk. You can do silly things like that. It's refreshing. But Jesus gets their attention. Because he brought them there for a purpose. He needed to spend time alone with him. He wanted to know if these guys were ready to take on this huge task of evangelizing the world. Because he knew they still could not understand who he truly was. And so he calls them aside. He says, okay, listen, guys. Okay, again, painting the picture. You've done very well down there, you know, it's a good job. But you blokes have been mixing with the people down there, all those people you mixed with. Who do these people say I am? No, exactly, wrong. He says, who do these people say the Son of Man is? Because he knows that they still had issues with him. Back in their minds, they still saw him as the Son of Man. Because they knew who his brothers were. They knew who his mother was. They knew his sisters, all there in Nazareth. And in fact, it's the people in Jesus' neighborhood in the end didn't want to listen to Jesus anymore, because they said, who is this fellow think he's a wise guy? We know his family and that, and he's coming with all these smart things, and they did not want to listen to Jesus anymore. And I think this is probably part of the disciple psyche, why they couldn't fully understand who Jesus was, because they still saw him very much as the Son of Man as well, even though he was this wonderful man. And so he asked him, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they say, well, some say Moses, some say Elijah, some say some great prophet. And then he asked him the question. This is almost like an interview, you know, for a vacancy that's coming up. And that vacancy is going to be Jesus. He's going back to his Father. There's a role to be taken over here. And he wants to see if they qualify for that role. Do they know who he is? And so he asked the question, but what about you? Do you know who I am? Peter, again, it's always Peter. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Oh, when I read this, brothers and sisters, I can just see the excitement in Jesus as he grabs Peter and he said, blessed are you, Peter. No man could have revealed this to you except my Father who is in heaven. You are so blessed that my Father has given his Spirit to you and revealed to you exactly who I am. And it's like Jesus is so excited. Yes, they've got it. My Father has endorsed these people. He has sent them his Spirit and revealed to them the truth. And Jesus goes on and he says to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. This testimony of yours, this declaration of yours that I am the Christ, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of the living God, this is going to be the foundation upon which I am going to build my church. Your testimony. And there we have it today. And through the testimony of these disciples, who at this time now wrote this book, were filled with the Spirit of God, we were drawn into that fishing net of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They truly became fishers of men. Their lives were changed once they received the gospel, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Because here's the evidence. The net is almost full. You know, Centrum. And each one of us are called upon to use that net of the gospel. Throw out that net and bring people into the kingdom of God. You see the difference in the lives of two disciples. Once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, I better hurry along, in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John now filled with the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. They're going up to the temple, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to the afternoon prayer session. There's a man who's lame from birth and comes there daily. He's dropped outside the temple gate, the gate called Beautiful, where he begs. It's a good place to beg. Jewish people are good at giving money, part of their Jewish faith. It's an ideal spot. There's 3 prayer sessions a day. Daily he is brought there. Peter and John is coming up to the temple to pray. But this is a different Peter and John. This is a Peter and John who have now received the Spirit of God, who now have the Spirit of Christ alive and active in them. And as they approach the temple gate, this gate called Beautiful, the man asked him for money. Now let me just talk to you a bit more about this gate. This gate has 2 or 3 different names. It's also called the Golden Gate. But in Hebrew it has its own name. It's called Shawa Harachamim, which means the gate of mercy. And I find it strange, not strange, there's a word I'm supposed to be using here, that this man has placed outside the gate of mercy. You see, he is not allowed into the temple courts because of his condition. But he's placed outside of the gate of mercy, relying upon the mercy of men as they came in. It's a picture here, it's a lesson here. But 2 men whose lives have changed completely through the Holy Spirit come along. And he's asking them for money, and you know the story. Peter goes over to him and says to him, he asked Peter for money, Peter says, because he must have been looking away again at the time, because they said, listen, just give us your attention, please. He might have seen someone else coming in, holding out his hand and not wanting the next person to move by. But anyway, they said, give us your attention. And they looked him in the eye and they said, money we don't have to give you, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And you know something? What I like the Bible says here, Peter was reaching out his hand to the man. Peter didn't say to John, okay, let's see what happens now, because you know this is quite new to us. No. This is the boldness that Jesus talks about in the Spirit, the power that comes upon us, this confidence that comes upon us when we receive the Spirit of God. When Peter said to him in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He was reaching out because he knew this man was going to get up. He was that sure. And the bloke gets up, leaping and shouting. Every bone in his body's come together. Every muscle, every tissue, every knee, joint and ankle, going toe, it's all come together. And he runs in and follows him through the temple. He's now allowed to enter through the gates of mercy into the courts of praise and join the people there. Before, he was not allowed in. But two men filled with the Holy Spirit made a whole difference in his life. This man was holding onto them so tightly, they had to come and drag him off. The difference the Holy Spirit wants to make in us. Let us embrace him. Let us allow him. Let us give him his way. I know he's still working in me. I thank God for that. I'm amazed at the changes that he's made in my life. I was talking about my mate Andy before, how he had got saved. You know, there's a lot of people back there in Cape Town who'd be surprised at me yet. Oh, the canon is standing up here in Lexington Baptist Church hearing the word of God. They'll be just as surprised to hear that. But this is what the Spirit of God does. He changes people's lives, and he needs people like you and I to do so. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you this morning. Thank you once again for this wonderful gift you have given to us through Jesus Christ, your Son. This gift of your Holy Spirit. It's your Holy Spirit, Lord, that comes to us and tells us